On today's episode, we're going to talk about the process of creating an event-driven community, having the right vision in your business, and the importance of scalability.
Let's go!
This is the Blind Entrepreneur Podcast, where we help entrepreneurs and business professionals execute their vision by guiding them to profitability. Today, we have Jason Malky. He is the founder and CEO of Startup Boost. Startup Boost is a startup event series and ecosystem that is geared towards founders, biz dev, marketing, and sales types in NYC. They host 25 plus events in New York City, including mixers, panels, investor nights, and expos. Jason, how is your day going?
Great so far, man. Excited to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So before we get into the tough, heavy-hitting questions, we have to start the podcast off the same way we do every single time, and that's with an icebreaker. So imagine you just had the absolute best day of your life. Where are you going to eat, and what are you going to order in order to make your day complete?
Oof, that's a curveball. All right, that's the case. Where am I going? You can be anywhere in the world, doesn't matter.
Anywhere. You just had the best day, so you could paint the picture for us.
You know what I'm doing? I'm actually going to Turkey, and I'm having a Turkish breakfast where they have like different cheeses, you know, fruits, vegetables, a lot of fun stuff. I'm having a nice breakfast. That's my move, with a nice tea.
Nice. Are you Turkish yourself?
Oh, my family's originally from like Turkey, Syria. From that region. But I need that plus like a nice view.
Nice.
Like, view mountains or something chill, you know what I mean?
I love it, man. I dig it. Yeah. I dig it. So the first real question, Jason, who are you and what is your story?
Cool. So pretty much I'm Jason Malky. You had intro'd me, founder of Startup Boost. We're a startup event series in New York. Just serial entrepreneur. I have a couple companies. Just been grinding for a couple years now. I've been in the startup scene for about 10 years now in New York. And I just continue to, you know, I started off with events. I have a PR agency now. I'm also working on a startup. Just a serial entrepreneur in New York. I'm well connected on like the founder and the VC side specifically, and predominantly with like tech startups.
So you throw a lot of events, you're into the tech startup scene. Why are you getting involved in all of this? Like, what is your reasoning behind this? Like, why are you so passionate about the startup scene?
Right. So all right, this is kind of like a long story. So I grew up with like parents who are both entrepreneurs, right? So I just grew up in that environment, and like on a daily basis, I'd see like the reality of entrepreneurship, right? So like, you know, nowadays on Instagram, you see everyone like showing off their nice car and their watches. And a lot of stuff that's like the end game after like 10 years of like sweat, you know, 10 years plus of sweat. And I just grew up around two entrepreneurs who like, you know, did a great, you know, grinded every day, you know, came home. Some days they didn't make, you know, it wasn't busy. Some days it was busy. Like just all these things that like you'd only learn by being around it from like a young age. Like that just like motivated me to be an entrepreneur. So even from young age, I was like, I'm doing this. I'm going to be an entrepreneur. I'm going to hustle. And what ended up happening was, you know, I grew up around wholesale, retail, manufacturing. And it's really a backbreaking like career path. You know, you're at register all day, you're breaking boxes, or you're unloading trucks. Like it's not fun, right? But being an entrepreneur is fun. So like I kind of was always kind of trying to discover from a young age, like what I knew I would never work for a big company or anything. Even from a young age, I was like, it's just not me. Like I'd rather like starve and work for myself and build my own business versus like go out and like work for like Chase or, you know, Goldman Sachs or Microsoft or whoever. So, you know, I had to figure out though, like, how am I going to make money one day? So as a, you know, growing up, I was always just like hustling or like, I always had these little like side businesses or whatever. But I got to the point to where I was like, you know, what am I, you know, I hit like 18, I went to college. I was like, what am I going to do? Like, what is it that would be like an entrepreneurial path that I'd be happy with, that I'd wake up every morning and be like, all right, it's time to go grind and hustle. And like, you know, knowing that shit's going to hit the fan here and there, like how is there a career path that I can go where I'll like do that with this, you know, handle that with like a smile on my face. And, you know, in 06, I was at Rutgers Newark and my brother started a tech startup. It was pretty much like a video startup, except there was like an annual awards and like he wanted it to be a little more focused on creative stuff because he was at New York Film Academy at the time, or he had graduated at the time from New York Film Academy. So he kind of wanted to do like a YouTube with like kind of a more like artsy, like an increased talent level of content and like voting and all that. So anyway, he brought me in. I did some like biz dev stuff for him, some marketing stuff. I mean, it ended up failing, but for me, it just opened up like a whole new world. I was like, wow, like we could create a product and like there'd be like, a, you know, something that we created that's on the computer. And this is like when YouTube was starting to really blow up. Facebook was just getting onto the scene and that type of thing. And I was like, wow, like this is really happening. There's like these young entrepreneurs who are making like tons of money and like delivering a crazy amount of value. And to me, like, that was it. Like, it was almost like written in the stars. I was like, this is what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to work with tech. I love it. And then, so I was at that point, I was like, you know, interning for, so the way I got into it is I interned for like a dev shop. I just wanted to know like the nuances of building an app and a website and all that. I learned some stuff, and then I realized, you know, I need a strong network. So I actually transferred from Rutgers and went to Montclair State, and I wanted to start an entrepreneurship club. So I asked around NYU, Columbia, Fordham, Rutgers. I was like, hey, how do you start one of these? Because they didn't have an entrepreneurship club at Montclair State. And there's one guy at NYU who's like, I run their entrepreneurship club. Come, you know, I run this thing called NYC Startup Mixers. You know, you should join me, and just like, you know, it'll be a good way for you to meet people. And it was. So I joined, and I met tons of people, a lot of founders, a lot of VCs. Lots of people I could only dream of meeting about, like if I didn't physically start going to a lot of events and just networking my butt off. So that happened. And then we had done NYC Startup Mixers for a little less than a year, and we were really killing it. Like, we were like probably like the go-to for events in New York. This was probably, oh man, 5+ years ago. As the scene was really just starting to mature here and like get to the next level. And we actually did one panel we usually did mixers was with Vengo. They were actually at one point the most funded startup in Shark Tank history. And we met them like when they were still like kind of like building out the product and really just like pushing it to market. So that was a cool experience. And then we did a big mixer on this yacht in New York, and like everybody showed up for that. That was like a big hit. And then one of the co-working spaces was like really impressed with what we were doing. Like, oh, do you want to be our events team? So we merged with them. We became their events team. And then I was there for a little less than a year as well. And I just built this like up this incredible experience. Like, I was doing, you know, I was sleeping in the office certain nights, like doing like hackathons for like Spotify and like PayPal or wherever else. And then other days I'd just be doing like meetups. And I was like dealing with like logistics for like 3 to 5 events a week. And to that point, it was like, and I'm talking from like getting speakers, to, like setting up this, like physically setting up the physical speakers and the mic. Like, I was kind of doing it all with like my partner. And, you know, it just got to the point where I had a lot of experience. I had built up a list. I knew tons of speakers. And I was like, why not just go on my own and build out my own brand? Because, like, for me, another issue with the whole thing was I had been going to a lot of events, like, even leading up to like being a part of NYC Startup Mixers. I used to go to, like, Eventbrite and find all, like, the free events and meet up and just go and network. And my problem was, like, there'd be good events here or there, but they'd be very hit or miss. Like, there's no brand in the event space for tech. And I was like, you know, I want to create something where people, when they see my logo or like see my name, like, oh, that's going to be a good event. Because I remember before I go to events, someone would be awesome. It'd be like 100 people. It'd be like great speakers and whatever else. I go to another meetup and it'd be like 5 people. And I was like, and I was traveling from Jersey. Like, I was a, you know, I was a student at a certain point, and like, I couldn't afford to keep taking these trips to these like shitty meetups. And I was like, how do I like kind of like vet? It became like a tricky thing. And after a while, I looked back on it and I was like, all right, I went through that. You know, I have this experience. I have this network. Why not try it myself? Yeah. So about 3+ years ago, you know, launched Startup Boost. And yeah, so now we do 25 events a year. Our biggest event is our Startup Expo with 60 exhibitors, 2,000 people throughout the day. Yeah, man, it's just a great, it's such a great ecosystem. I love meeting these entrepreneurs. Like, it's so rewarding. Like, even this week, I had two startups that one pitched at my annual investor conference. And this was like a year ago. And I remember when they were like still bootstrapping and figuring it out. And this week, they just landed 800K, right? We had another startup who pitched at one of our investor nights, like a quarterly one, and they got to 500 startups. And these stories happen all the time. So for me, it's just this great thing to be around these like young or like these early entrepreneurs, to see them like, you know, launch something, and then 6 months later, a year later, you know, they landed that huge client, or they landed that huge round, or their team's growing. Like, it's just like the coolest thing ever. Like, that was what wakes me up every morning, keeps me going and pumping out these events so consistently. Because like, I know that like, you know, maybe we help in a little way along that journey, and to me, that's like really rewarding.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, that kudos to you for doing that, turning that passion into a business. I'm curious. A lot of companies, a lot of entrepreneurs, they go to events, right? Like you, they go to the events. There's 100 people, some are 5, and then they have to meet. They feel as if they have to need the whole room. Yeah. I was one of those people, so I could speak to that. You flipped it on its head and said, you know what, instead of me going to the events, I'm creating events. Yeah. How has creating a community within yourself been able to help grow your business?
Wow, it's been incredible. So it's funny, for a long time, I didn't really have much to sell to my attendees or whoever's a part of the network outside of sponsorship. On that front, we still do well. We have like 25, 30 sponsors who are like paid annually. So like, I've been able to kind of like turn attendees into like sponsors, which has been cool. But to take that to the next level, within like the last, since like July, I actually formally launched a PR agency with a partner of mine who also runs like an events community for like marketers. And so it's funny, like my first 30 clients, 30, 40 clients were people I knew who I basically knew all these founders from most networking. I'd done all these events and I built these personal relationships with them where like, I'm just friends. I could text them, I could Facebook message them. Like, you know, I'm just friends with these people. And I was like, hey, listen, I trolled out this PR agency. And, you know, if you're looking for PR services, let me know. And then like literally my first 30, 40 closes and clients were like people I knew who I met at events. So it's something where like, listen, as far as networking, you should never go in there and be like on like a sales mission and be like, oh, I want to sell to everyone in this room. And it sounds corny or whatever else, but you need to build these relationships with people where it's like, you know, it's a personal friendship, right? So like, you know, you and I are meeting through this podcast. And like, for me, I'm not going to try and sell you any PR or anything, but like at the end of the day, I want to be like friends with you and I want to build like a good personal relationship, right? And down the road, if there's something where like I have a referral, you have a referral or whatever else, like that's just, I guess, you know, a good thing to obviously that just enriches us more on the business side. But, you know, you just have to go out here and just network genuinely with people and just like connect with people. And from there, like, yeah, eventually a lot of those people are going to end up needing your solution. Like you wouldn't be there if you didn't have a solution that could potentially make sense for a lot of people in the room, right? Like whether it's from a financial standpoint or partnership or just like whatever it is, like there's a reason you're in that room. And if like, you know, somebody doesn't necessarily need your solution on the spot, it might be something down the road. But I guess my words of wisdom are just like network, build good tight relationships with people and like the business will come, you know?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, totally. So is that how you are, that strategy that you're using, is that how you're inevitably going to get your first 100 clients? That process of creating events, becoming friends with people, and then asking for your service?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, so far that's been a huge part of our growth. I'd probably say at least 50% of our sales come from just people that my partner and I know from our events. We have some other, you know, like outbound stuff that we do that also brings in leads and closes. But yeah, honestly, I mean, in general, a huge part of our strategy is going to events, hosting events. Like, listen, we still go to events. Like, we went to two conferences. We're going to three conferences this week, actually. So like, yeah, events is a huge part of our, because also, I mean, with, you know, more like enterprise or like higher ticketed or higher price solutions in general, it's a lot of personal selling, right? So like, if you're going to sell something, anything beyond $1,000 or $2,000, it's going to be very tough to do it over like a couple emails. Like you're going to have to physically meet with people, get on the phones. And a lot of it's trust-based because with like that dollar amount, when people are allocating that number, it's like, they need to know that they're dealing with someone that they can trust. And like, they know that if they put money with you, you know, give you their money, you're going to give them like, you're going to go above and beyond for them. So events help to kind of build that trust right off the bat versus like emails and whatever else. Like even with enterprise sales in general, like we try to get off emails as soon as possible. We want to make it as personal as possible. So getting on the phone is a huge thing. So to that, I mean, yeah, going to events is huge because it's such a personal thing.
Mm, yeah, no, you're definitely right. So I'm curious, you know, this podcast talks, in the headline, it talks about being blind, right? The blind entrepreneur. So can you talk about a time where you felt lost, where you felt blind in business? And how did you overcome that blindness?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So, I mean, one place where I felt really, really blind was like just early on with Startup Boost. Like I would host events where, you know, I'd have sponsors and everything else. And it'd be supposed to be like a mixer with, you know, I almost like promised like a good amount of attendees, like 100 plus, 150, and ended up being like 20 attendees, right? And at that point, I felt super blind because like, wow, I did everything that I thought I was supposed to do to fill up this room. You know, I had projections, I missed miserably. So at that point, I was super blind. I was like, wow, how do I like solve this problem? Like, how do I, you know, fill up this room? How do I do this consistently? So yeah, I mean, this isn't my first venture, and it's, you know, in other ventures as well, I'm always blind early on. Like early on, you're always gonna have blind spots. You know, you can't figure out, you're going to be blind to certain things until, like, you know, there's a reason for you to see it, right? So, like, you know, there's going to be certain nuances in any business that until kind of shit hits the fan, you're not going to know, like, that that's even a blind spot to start with, really. But, yeah, early on with, like, Startup Boost, it's just, like, attendee issues. It's a lot of stuff I just felt really blind. I was like, what am I doing wrong? How do I improve? But it pushed me to, like, focus more on social, to get, you know, really push for subscribers on my newsletter, you know, to host free events, to build up my newsletter, to get more people on, you know. So yeah, I was just early on the Startup Boost specifically, I'd say I was just very blind to just getting the attendance up to where I wanted to be. And also even on the sponsor side, something I was blind about was like the value of my deliverables. So like, for example, initially I used to do like one-off sponsorships. So it'd be like, oh, you want to sponsor a specific event? It's $200, right? But then I saw like that wasn't, there was no retention with that. The sponsors weren't really getting much ROI out of one event. I was blind to like kind of understanding like what their goal was. And after understanding like they want to get, you know, obviously leads and clients and not just like branding stuff going. Mm. What I did was I started to package annual sponsorships where it's like you get X of amounts of events throughout the year. You know, we'll do a certain amount of referral intros, et cetera, et cetera. So at first I was blind to like what value like those sponsors were looking for. And once I understood it, I was able to repackage our deliverables and create a greater ROI for those sponsors.
I see. So, yeah. So at what point were, I mean, a couple of things come to mind when you talk about that. You created the community, which is hard, and you're translating them into a service. Like, how long did it take you to grow that community? Because I feel like there was some point in time where you're like, you know what, it's not coming as fast as I want it to. And then you just hit a certain number and it just goes skyrocket. So how long did it take you to build it? What techniques did you do that you used in order to grow it? And what can we take with us in order to grow our email list and follower base, et cetera?
Definitely. So, okay. So early on, one thing I did a lot of, first of all, I didn't make money for the first couple of years, just flat out. Like, community building, you're not going to make money the first couple of years. You have to be very patient about it. I mean, probably stick to your day job, do some consulting gigs, whatever it is. If your end goal is to really run a community, early on, it's going to be a lot of struggles as far as numbers and growth. It's going to take a while. And also, if you like build up a brand where people like will refer to their friends, like that takes years, really. So what I did early on, my solution to that was I did a lot of free events. So I would create events on like Eventbrite and Meetup where there's like searchability, right? So like I try to get like really good speakers, and I would tell them, hey, like, here's one thing. Like, so initially early on, I used to kind of like guilt good speakers and come to my events. So I'd be like, hey, like, you know, this community's done so much for you. Like, you know, it's your time to give back, blah, blah, blah. You know, come speak at my event. So I'd get some pretty solid speakers. And like, once I got some solid speakers, I'd be like, oh, by the way, Fiverr and Cater to Me and like whatever, Pure Space. I'm just thinking about like sponsors of mine, not coming to mind. But like, I start name dropping all of like these speakers I had now, or Uber or whatever. And then like, eventually I changed my speaker copy, like eventually these big brands I got. So like, initially I'm like kind of building up like the value side of it. I kind of begged some people early on to just like come to my events. And then once I had them in, I'd be like, push it to other people and be like, oh, you should be a part of this because like all the cool people are here. But as far as the community, growing the community specifically, what I had done early on was like, okay, so I got these like pretty solid speakers, and then I would like put up event pages on like Eventbrite and Meetup. And then I found like all the local calendars. So like in New York, there's like Gary's Guide, there's New York Tech Meetups calendar, Startup Digest. And just like you could just like Google like startup calendars in like your area, and a bunch will come up. What I'd do is like I'd create a bunch of like free events that like most people would probably pay for. And I would just throw them up, and the way I was making money on those was like I would do a free early bird, and I'd leave that to like the last day. And like the day of, I'd make like $10 tickets. I wasn't really making much off the door, but then what I would do is also have like I had really cheap sponsorships. It was like $99 to $200, but I would usually get like 3 to 5 sponsors, right? So whatever, it was enough just like for me to like make something on the event. Yeah. And the key was that what I was building up was community, because now I was getting like 150, like for a panel I'd get like 150 new emails, right? Or like for a mixer, I would get like hundreds of emails, right? If I did a mixer. So, and then what I would also do was like a lot of cross promotion. So there's a lot of other smaller meetups at that time who would like maybe a couple hundred or a couple thousand members. So like I would DM people on Meetup and say, hey, you know, I got 500, or I have 1,000 now, or I have 1,500. Do you want to cross promote? And like a lot of people are really open to that. So I do a lot of cross promotion, and like that would help. And like I would get my, one thing I'd always like barter for was, hey, like, you know, throw my logo on. I'll put you in my media partner section, but put my logo and link on your event page as well. So like, I'd get a lot of impressions, because like there'd be like whatever, like 5 events that day in New York, and like out of like whatever, say it's 25 events that week, like 2 or 3 would have my logo, and people would see me there and calendar, and like, so it was a lot of barter, a lot of free stuff. I definitely stuck to my day job, you know, like I was still, it was more of like a side hustle for the first couple of years. And then eventually what happened was like I got to the point where I had a ton of subscribers and like a consistent like cadence of events. And then I was able to go to sponsors and say, hey, like, you know, I noticed that you sponsored us for like $100 this time, $200. And once I like kind of showed like I'm going to give them a ton of value like throughout the year and newsletters and all this fun stuff, they're willing to throw a couple grand. You know what I mean? So yeah, man, that's what it was. But you have to be really patient. Like if you're building a community, I would definitely like advise like do consulting or stick to your day job for the first couple of years. And just look for good partnerships, do free stuff, build up that email list. That's really how I did it, man. And it took years. This is like 5+ years later.
That's awesome. Well, kudos to you for having that patience, because that's really hard to do.
The other thing is like a lot of people, if they see you like hustling and grinding, like even if people have like way more subscribers or whatever else, if you show them that you're doing something real, like they'll see like your passion, your excitement, and like they'll kind of like help you out. Like I had a few co-working spaces and other like newsletters like really blast us out a few times just because like they loved what we were doing and that type of thing.
Okay.
So I cross-voted, but like, yeah, they're giving me way more value than I was giving them, to be honest.
Yes.
then, you know, it's like you return the favor eventually.
Right. So then my question to that is, are you cold calling them? Did you cold email them or did you just kind of like...
It's funny. Sponsor specifically?
I guess the partners. My initial question was about partners, but if you could, I guess, speak to the sponsors too, since you have a story.
Yeah, definitely. So I'll go through partners first. So partners specifically, what I did a lot of was just emails, right? So I would just ping people and say, like, I didn't really get on calls, to be honest, with that type of stuff. It was just more of like, because I had like copy that I had, and I would hit up like 10 organizers a day, right? And just like go through Eventbrite, go through Meetup, whatever else, and just like, I used to like ping people until like they blocked me for that day, you know? So then it was like a very just like formula, like, hey, we have, you know, 2,000 subscribers. We do mixers panels, like the whole intro you did, mixers panels, investor nights, blah, blah, blah. And I'd make this seem like we were bigger than we were. It was a one-person team basically to start. So like I would talk us up a lot and like make it seem like we were super valuable, which I guess to an extent we were or whatever. And then it pretty much is, honestly, people were very into it. Like from my experience, like event organizers were like, once in a while you get someone who would have some like rude comment or like whatever. And then like a good amount were like, oh, hey, yeah, like let's do this. Like send me an email. And honestly, so for partners specifically, just literally going through Meetup and Eventbrite, I found a ton who I could just DM on there and say, hey, let's cross-promote, and a lot of people are very receptive, and it works really well. Because you got to understand, these people are also in the same boat. Like, they're building community. They know the struggle. They know how hard it is. Like, they don't want to, like, you know, they're not going to kick you while you're down. They're going to help if they can. Yeah. If they can, they will for the most part. So, I mean, and my experience on that front has been really, people have been very, very receptive.
Nice. Very cool. So, random question, and we're going to move on to more personal questions, if that's okay with you. Okay. Is there any entrepreneur or business professional that you would love to meet?
That's actually funny.
And why?
It's actually funny. So, I mean, I'd probably say Elon Musk because I'm kind of frustrated because tomorrow we're actually going to this thing called Synergy Global, which has like Gary Vaynerchuk, Richard Branson, the founder of like Wikipedia, Jimmy Wales, who else? Like Simon Sinek, who's like a big inspirational guy. The guy, Jordan Belfort, the actual Wolf of Wall Street. It's actually like this huge list, and the one guy that I wanted to meet who's not on there, who's like my person I'd love to meet is Elon Musk, because like he's known for just like this like crazy work ethic. And honestly, me personally, I'm not really that great at like, I'm not most people who like is like super technical or like, you know, I'm probably not even this best sales guy or whatever it is. But like one thing I do is like work my ass off, right? So like I'm the type of guy, and unfortunately, who usually works like, you know, on the low end, like 12 hours a day, like, but I weirdly enjoy it. Like some people love certain things, like I just love to work. Like one thing I don't love about work, honestly, is my inbox. That's like the one thing I'm like, oh my god. Like right now, because I hosted two events last week and I'm going to 3 conferences this week, I have 300 plus emails. This is the most I've ever had in my life to actually have to answer. So like this weekend's gonna suck. Like I'm gonna be sitting there doing the one thing I hate about running a company is emails. Mm-hmm. But like outside of that, anything I do I love. Like I look at my schedule, like to me it's like I'm going to the park, like I like basketball. It's like going to the park and playing basketball. Like I really, really, really enjoy working. And like I'm also like fortunate enough to like have great people like in all my companies. Like I, you know, across all 3 companies, I have great like colleagues. Like everyone's like super fun, funny, like engaging. Like we work hard together. Like, you know, we go through the shit together. We go through the good times together. But like I'm blessed to have like some really good teammates across all my companies. But yeah, so Elon Musk, going back to the whole thing. So Elon Musk really, because I love his work ethic, and I feel like he's the type of guy who would like sit down with me and like tell me something that would like get me to work 20 hours.
Mind.
Get me to go like 20 hours a day, like some sort of like knowledge he's going to drop about like how we're going to die and like how like our legacy matters and how like our kids are going to eat. Cause I'll be like, Elon, you're right. Like I'm going to go lock myself in my office now. Like talk to you in like 3 years. Like you won't see me for a while. Like Elon Musk, I just feel like he would say something to me in like that, in that conversation that would be like, whoa, you're right.
And,
like,
totally.
I just love it. And also for me, I have 3 companies. So like seeing him run like SolarCity, Tesla, like, and whatever else he's up to, like with the whole like sending people to space, like everyone's like, oh, you can't run 3 companies. Like 90% of startup fails. And like, I have 3 companies and like my first 2 are, you know, 2 of them are profitable. The 3rd one I'm going to get profitable. And like, and everyone's like, oh, like, you know, 90% fail. You're crazy running 3 companies. Like I don't know. Like, I guess some people just don't have like maybe it's the work ethic. And I feel like guys like Elon Musk have that work ethic to make 3 companies work, you know? And like, you know, guys like that inspire me on that front.
Yeah, no, it's great. Hopefully we can get you to meet him. So whoever's listening, they have
Email us, intro us.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe they can make an email introduction or something like that. Who knows? So next we're going to switch to a little bit more of the personal aspect. So something that's very important to entrepreneurship are habits. So What are some habits that have helped you become more efficient throughout your day?
Great question. So one issue I have with like my daily operations is I use Google Calendar but it's a checklist. It's not time sensitive at all. And the thing is, my schedule is really wild. Like, I show some of my friends who are founders my schedule, and they're like, I feel sorry for you. Because I have three companies, so there's just always so many moving parts for these three companies. So it doesn't even make sense for me to try to, like, do time-sensitive schedules, because, like, it's not going to happen. Like, it's not my reality. So one thing is, I have, like, these post-its. Like, people make fun of me. Like, I have a Google Calendar, but in addition, I have, like, these two post-its with me every day, right? One says calls and meetings, and one says work. So out of all of my tasks, I highlight, like, 5 or 10 that even if I don't finish everything on my Google Calendar, if I complete those 5 or 10, I consider it a successful day, right? And also, just because my calendar is so unorganized, it's tough for me to be like, oh, I have a meeting here or there. So I have, like, this little piece of paper that says calls and meetings. So, like, I'm looking at mine now. So after this, I have something at 2. So, like, I know, like, I can just look at this quickly, and, like, I don't have to open up an app or, like, do all these different things. I reach into my pocket. They're usually at my desk all day. It's like having those two post-its in addition to, like, whatever notifications I have keeps me sane, because I'm like, if I complete these things, my day was good. You know, it was good enough, you know, on the business front. So as far as me specifically, that's kind of how I do things and, like, try to keep it efficient.
So you mentioned resources like Google Calendar. Slack, I'm sure, is a huge part of your life. Are there any other resources that you use every single day that you can't live without?
Good question. I'm trying to think specifically. So it depends, like, from company to company. So, like, for, like, my development for my one startup, we have a lot of dev we have, and Jira is huge, because, like, that's, like, how we manage, like, our daily tasks. That's how I know what my developers are doing. So on the development front, I need Jira. It's actually funny. So for our PR agency, we use a few softwares. Probably I'd say Trello is the most important one for that one specifically, just because, like, it keeps us posted on, like, you know, where we're at with certain clients. So I'd probably say for my startup, my tech startup, I'd probably say Jira. For my PR agency, I'd probably say Trello. Because, again, it helps me to manage, like, clients and know where things are at. And then, for Startup Boost, my software stack isn't great, to be honest with you. I mean, Google Drive, I'd probably say Google Drive is really important, because I'm very organized in Google Drive. So, like, if I need to go to my accounting, I know it's in accounting. If I need to do, like right now, I have to send an email, a templated email that I send to a lot of my sponsors. So I just went into emails, templates, and it was right there, you know? So, like, that saves me a ton of time. Like, actually taking a step back and cleaning up my Google Drive, like, 6 months ago was probably the best thing I've done operations-wise in, like, the last, like, couple of years. It's just because now I know this is there, and I don't have to, like, click it and search and remember what the title of the doc was, et cetera, et cetera. So for me, Google Drive is a big part of it on this front.
Yeah, I like it. So the last major question that I have is, the Blind Entrepreneur podcast was created for individuals who may be temporarily blind in business, right?
Right.
They cannot see the obvious. They are stuck in a particular place. So what are 3 pieces of advice that you would give to a fellow entrepreneur?
In what sense? Like, to, like spiritually, to, like, get to the point, like, where they're ready to, like, go again, or, like, what, like, is it, like, more like business? Like, what do they need to make an adjustment? Like,
I'll say whatever way you want to answer the question, that's the way it should be. The first 3 things that come to your mind. So whether it's spiritually, whether it's emotionally, whatever. Yeah. The goal when you answer this question should be, an entrepreneur that's listening right now should be able to hear that piece of advice and be able to take it with them throughout the rest of their day.
Right. Okay. So one thing I think that's really important to kind of, like, give you vision is So, like, you know, when you're with certain people in life, you get certain perspectives, right? You're going to be, like, you know, they're going to impact your perspective on your business, your life, et cetera, et cetera. So to make sure that you have, like, the right vision in your career and as, like, an entrepreneur, you do need to make sure that, like, you're around the right people, right? So whether that's, like, you know, getting closer to your family, or, you know, finding a group of, like, people who are passionate about the same exact thing as you within startup, within tech, or within your niche, or, like, a combination of both, or whatever it is. To kind of have, like, a strong vision and to achieve a greater goal, you need to kind of be around people who, like, are, you know, I mentioned family because, like, they're probably gonna be your best support group, right? Like, if you have your family behind you, like, it's a good thing, because, like, shit's gonna hit the fan. Like, no matter what, your family's gonna be there for you. And as an entrepreneur, shit's gonna hit the fan. You're gonna have financial struggles. You're gonna have personal struggles. You're gonna have to push things off. And, like, you know, people are gonna be with you through it no matter what. A lot of the time, you know, knock on wood, is, like, family, right? So, like, for me personally, I recommend, you know, just try to get it close to people, like, within, like, your family, or people who, like, maybe childhood friends, or just, you know, but your best friends outside of work, whatever it is, like, just, like, those support groups that are going to be with you, like, no matter whether you succeed or fail as an entrepreneur, right? So, again, it might be even, like, college friends, or, I don't know, whatever it is, right? But just people who are going to, like, be with you no matter what, like, that's important. And then on the business front, like, as far as vision specifically, like, say you want to launch a tech startup, like, if you're around a bunch of tech founders, you're going to have similar visions, and just, like, kind of getting, like, that vibe from them, and, like, that mentality, and, like, seeing that, like, you're not crazy and other people think that way is actually going to strengthen your vision, right? Because, like, if you just go into it and, like, you want to launch a tech startup and you don't know other founders and, like, you're just going with it, it's tough because, like, you know, you start to second guess yourself a lot. But if you see other people dealing with the same stuff and, like, handling, you know, certain ways they handle it, et cetera, it's going to empower you to go out and be a better entrepreneur and a better founder if that's what you want to do. You know what I mean? Does that make sense?
Totally. Yeah, without a doubt.
That's blindness, and that opens you up to that. So, okay. So, like, another example of, like, kind of where people might be blind, you're saying that they could, like, kind of take a – let me think there. I mean, one thing is, this is a little more business specific, if that's okay.
Sure.
So, like, one thing is, I feel like a lot of people are blind to building their business in a way that's going to be scalable. Right? So, a lot of people are like, oh shit, I just made money. I'm going to invoice this person and, like, make that money and, like, just, like, go on to the next thing and start selling again. And then they're going to get to the point to where their business starts to pick up and they're going to be stuck with, like, not knowing how to scale invoicing, not knowing how to, like, manage a ton of calls and, like, meetings and all these things. So one thing I definitely advise that I think a lot of founders, because they get excited and a lot of people see the big vision. I feel like a lot of founders have that big vision of where they want to be in 5-10 years. Like, that's crystal clear to them. But what's not crystal clear is, like, how they're going to get there, right? So I feel like one thing is, like, a lot of these entrepreneurs are blind to, like, and I was definitely blind to it with Startup Boost. It took me, that's why I'm happy that was my first business, because a lot of stuff I learned there, I'm taking to business number 2 and 3 as far as, like, building a scalable infrastructure. Like, also, one thing, like, I didn't realize was, like, for each business, you're going to have to actually create – everyone thinks, oh, like, there's certain softwares for everything. Yeah, sure, to an extent. But within each of your businesses, you're going to have to kind of create, like, a custom stack, like a custom software stack, right? So for, like, Startup Boost, my software stacks, like Gmail, like Mixmax for scheduling, we literally still, like, use checks for, like, payments from our sponsors. Anyway, so, like, that's how that one's dealt with. So then, like, with our PR agency, we have, like, QuickBooks and, like – you know, we use Trello, we use, Autopilot for email marketing. Like, then for, like, sports wonks, like my sports site, we have, like, Gyro for, like, our software. Then we have, like, Ticket Network for our ticketing. And just, like, it's just these different stacks. So one thing I think a lot of people might be blind to is, like, early on, try to understand and identify what stack you need for your company's infrastructure, right? Because a lot of people, again, they just see, like, the big vision and they don't realize, like, there's a bunch of, like, little nuances with, like, none of my three stacks are, across three businesses, I use three almost completely different softwares outside of, like, Gmail and Google Drive. You know, so, like, early on, I think a lot of people are just blind to, like, understanding that you need to, it's a big deal to set your operations early. Obviously, you're going to adjust, you're going to change up certain softwares, you're going to, you know, scale it up, scale it down. There's certain things that will happen within that, but you need to kind of really walk through your business from not only a consumer-facing perspective, but also from an internal perspective. So that you can build something that's so that, you know, 3 years from now, you don't have to be like, oh shit, you know, I need to, because if you try to rip apart your infrastructure 3 years down the road, 5 years down the road, it's going to be very painful. There's going to be a lot of transferring of data and whatever else. But if you take a good amount of time and, like, research what you think is, like, and take, like, a really educated guess as to what it's going to be, you're going to save yourself time and money. And more importantly, really time. The money, yes, but also the time of, like, gutting it. And then also you have to, like, then teach all of your employees, like, hey, this is what you've moved over to. It's a pain, you know, like, to do all those things. Let me think about a third one. So someone might be fine too. Another one. Okay. So the third one I'd say is, I think a lot of entrepreneurs are blind to, the power of, like, genuinely building relationships. Mm-hmm. So a lot of early entrepreneurs will be like, all right, money, money, money. So, like, they might, like, almost rip someone off on a deal, or, like, not treat somebody good. Or, like, for example, when they're in a good position and someone's in a bad position, they might, like, kind of, like, for example, someone might text you and say, oh, hey, you know, give me a review on the, or they might say, hey, like, I just launched a startup, you know, check it out if you join the beta. And, like, hey, nah, I'm not interested. Like, I don't want to help you out. You know what I mean? Someone might just be like, I'm too big, or, like, I don't need to help you. And then, you know, a year later, they might be in a position where they're a successful startup and, like, you have a certain solution you want to sell it to them. And I'm not saying to, like, act fake and, like, be nice to people to, like, get them to like you so that, like, you can make money on them later. What I'm trying to get to is, like, just treat everybody with, like, respect and, like, you have no idea, like, the amount of people I've met, if I treated them badly early on, and I treat them nicely early on just because I genuinely, like, I respect entrepreneurs, I love entrepreneurs, I want to see them succeed, I mean, that's what wakes me up every morning, but if I had the mentality of, like, thinking that I was bigger and better than others, it's just so much money I would have lost long-term in my career. Like, and again, I'm not saying to, pretend like you care about people, or you need to generally, like, I mean, if you have to look internally and, like, dig deep into yourself and figure out, you know, what it takes for you to, like, be a more compassionate person, or, like, to be more empathetic, like, I don't know, do that, go on a vacation, like, start, I don't know, do whatever you do, I don't know, dig deep, like, listen to some, like, motivational I don't know, like, you know, just get to that place internally where you start to care about people and focus on that. Because if you're blind to that, you're not going to last. I'm telling you right now, I've seen some like really arrogant, egotistical people in the startup scene, and they're not there a couple months later, a couple years later. And it happens every time. People who are nice and care about others and who like will always just give and not really ask, honestly, and without expecting anything. You know, that's, I guess, the key, giving without asking, expecting anything. Because listen, I'm talking about this 10% of people who like ended up, you know, spending a lot of money with me. But for that 10%, there's whatever, maybe even 90-95% who will never spend a dollar with me, who I still helped out in a tremendous way out of passion and just like the excitement of like helping their career and like helping their friend, you know?
Yep.
I don't expect anything. I don't want anything. And if it, and it, but if there's a certain situation where we cross paths and it makes sense for them to help me out, and I can, you know, like people return the favor, and there's enough of that that goes around. So
yeah. You're saying all the right things, man. Definitely saying all the right things, and spoken like a true veteran entrepreneur for sure. Jason, you successfully completed the podcast, man. So congratulations to you. The next 30 seconds is all yours. Go ahead and tell everyone how they can learn more about you, be a part of your journey, and potentially becoming a customer of yours.
Cool. So I have a Startup Boost Restaurant. So you can contact me at directly. My email is Jason, J-A-S-O-N, at Startup Boost. It's actually spelled StartupBoost.com. So Startup Boost without the A. Yeah, so you can just email me there if you want to chat. And I actually have a startup expo in November. It's gonna be like 60 exhibitors, 2,000 people throughout the day. If you want to email me, I'm happy. If you just mention the blind entrepreneur, I'll give you free passes. And yeah, and the other thing is, if you ever need any PR, feel free to shoot me an email on that same email. We do performance-based stuff. So yeah, let me know.
Cool. Happy to chat. As the lights go out, that's like the cue, man. That's the cue to end it. So thank you guys that are still watching and listening. Thanks for always liking, commenting, and subscribing. So David, how are you, man?
He says hi. David says hi.
Thank you. So again, thank you guys. Everything you heard today will be in the show notes. Watch videos. Head over to blindentrepreneur.com. Being blind in business is temporary, and I hope that after listening to the wisdom of Jason today, you are now able to see more clearly. Go out there and execute your vision. Have a good rest of your day.
Thank you so much for watching this video. Don't forget to follow me on any and all social media platforms using the long last name above, followed by the letter J. If you want to get lost into the dark abyss of YouTube, click either left or right for another video. And finally, don't forget to hit the subscribe button. No, seriously, don't forget.